Hello, this is just a recording because we didn't get through all the questions for the mastermind. I've just got like a, what's that? Oh, okay, I'm fine. So here we are, and we're going to try and rattle through as many possible in about 18 minutes, and then the rest we'll get through on the next mastermind on Friday. All right.
All right, let's go. My question is about having CTAs within a resource. If it's a resource I'm making for the clients and sharing it as a lead mag, should I leave out a coaching CTA at the end? I'm doing a video training. I reckon I personally would be more likely to act upon a reminder at the end of a resource, but maybe it takes away from it being personal to clients. Thanks in advance.
Within a resource, if it's a resource I make for clients and sharing as a lead, duplicate the resource, make it a different one.
It's a video. Oh yeah, well she, yeah, it's a video training that she's
Okay, fine.
given.
If it's a video, just add a little bit at the end. But like that's what I do. Like if it was a resource for a client, cool, you're just going to change it slightly and repurpose it. Because yeah, you don't want at the end of your for your client video, you being like, and if you want to sign up as a client, and they're like, what? We're already here, but you also don't want to miss out a call to action if you're using it as a resource. So either add an extra 30 seconds to the video and clip it in, or or if it was like a PDF or something, you just duplicate it, change the wording slightly. Fine.
Yeah. Okay. My story engagement is low. I will implement what I've learned already on the course, but is there an ideal time to post? I know that they should be at the time they are happening. What? Is there an ideal number and is it best to drip feed them throughout the day? I'm not sure what she means about I know that they should be at the time they are happening.
I don't know that either, but I think the rest is a good question. I actually wonder this as well.
So where, let me go back. Is there an ideal time to post? Not necessarily. Like it's one of those things where that's not really something that you need to worry about. Like at the end of the day, your content and the quality of your content is number one priority. So if your content is good enough and people enjoy watching it, they will watch it whenever you post it. So I don't think that there's an
Well,
ideal time to be posted.
sometimes people can be like, oh, but this is peak time on social media or blah, 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 blah. I think with stories, get into a routine within your day. You know, the people that are the most consistent that I see are like, right, every morning while I walk to the gym, I make a video on something. Or mine might be, and I go through stages of different routines, but there'll be like a certain point in the day where I'm like, and then I answer questions on my story box, right? And because it's a routine within my day, it gets done every day, right? So I'd probably think of it more from that perspective. And then with timing as well, like I was saying before I interrupted myself, you could play pro and con with this, right? Whereas if you're like, oh, I'm going to post at peak time when most people are online, cool, but now you're posting when everybody's posting. Or, oh, not many people are online at the moment, but realistically, everyone is always glued to their phone. So if no one else is posting at 2 p.m. on a Thursday, but you are, you're going to come up on their feed or you're going to come up on their story.
Yeah, but my point about it is like that so many people try to bypass the actual thing that they need to be looking at and are looking for some sort of, oh well, is there a best time or blah blah blah. It's like, no, just get good at putting out good quality content, and that needs to be the main focus.
Yeah,
And the
like
same,
working hard,
sorry.
right? But like shit content's gonna be shit no matter when you post it. And good content generally does well at any point. Like I posted a thread yesterday just because it was on my mind. I think it's so 13 hours ago. Oh, that been. Anyway, it was probably like the worst. It's like a Saturday night is probably the worst time that you can ever post on social media. Because anyone who's not a loser is like not on social media. This is the most liked thread I've ever done. And why? Because it's actually quite good content.
Yeah. I know people say, oh, don't be posting late at night. I actually find sometimes when I post late in the evening that my content does better, or sometimes I'll post in the evening and then I'll wake up in the morning. I'll have a load of notifications where the notifications come in late at night. Because, like, people might be looking at their phone when they're in bed and stuff like that, or, well, not too
Very
late, but.
bad. I mean, what? They've got no cut off time for their phone.
Neither do we, babe.
Oh, I know. I
Yeah.
only go on threads to go to sleep.
Okay, continue on with this question. Is there an ideal number and is it best to drip feed them throughout the day? The thing about stories is it is really trial and error. Like sometimes it depends on, again, what is the outcome you're looking for? Are you looking to get a lot of views on your story? Are you looking to...
Oh.
Like there has to be an intent behind your posting and you want to know what the outcome you're looking for is based on that intent. So like what is, am I losing connection there? Because it's popping up saying your internet connection is unstable.
Lost connection for a second, but it was fine. Got the
okay. Now I've kind of lost my train of thought. But yeah, like you need to know what's the outcome you're looking for to know whether you can classify your story as being quote unquote good or successful or not. Like kind of just saying, is there an ideal number to post, but for what?
Yeah. I guess you don't want like too many. I think people do come up with some kind of ideal number, right? Of like, I don't know, about six a day or something.
6 to 10, I think, is the...
Yeah. And some days you might do more. And you're right, intent matters, because sometimes when I'm like, you know, I haven't had a story up for like almost 48 hours, which is unheard of for me, but I just don't have anything to sell. I'm enjoying a weekend of like, you know, I had a double launch last weekend. There was probably loads on both of my stories consistently. Same with when I started 30 for 30, I was like, is it good to be sharing other coaches, like reshares on stories? Generally aren't good. But when you're trying to create FOMO and you're like, look at all these coaches who have signed up, you don't want to miss out, probably is a good thing, right? Will my story views have gone down? 100% yes, because there's too much of the same thing and people are like, okay, I don't care that Jenny signed up and so is this person and this person, this person. But over that period of time, yes, I do care. Same with like EC method, we might have a slightly different approach to things. Like we reshare everything. Why? Because it's more about the clients being like, oh, look, they reshared it. That's nice. And because Chloe and I aren't like, well, Chloe does it all the time, but I'm not likely to reshare on my story because I know that it does pretty shit and nobody really wants to see one of my clients' screenshots of what they had for breakfast or something. So yeah, you kind of play in a bit of a game depending on what the outcome you want is.
Yeah, and depending on the page, like that's a good point. Like the EC method page is like a brand page. It's not like an individual person. So like it's like good to be sharing on that. But if it was your own personal page, then it's a different ball game altogether.
Mm-hmm. But
next
again,
question.
That ball game might change the day of a launch.
Exactly. Next question.
Yes.
I never get any responses to my call to actions ever, unless it's a group coaching release, which is a win. But I really want to work on this. I formulated and set into action my 3 lead gens and tested them on polls on my stories today. And it seems like a good response and at least a few more people, which is good for me, have said that they're struggling. Okay. At least a few more people have said that they're struggling with the problems I want to help solve and have suggested. Is there something I need to consider when doing CTAs that I may have been missing before? And how do I improve this engagement as I know it's key for lead gen?
Well, you're doing the right thing is figuring out the exact problem that people have and that they're resonating with most and then creating something for that. That is a call to action. Like if people are clicking on polls, that's a call to action, right? So you could be like, oh, hey, you guys said you really wanted BAM resource. Here it is. If you want it, just click yes and I'll send you it. That's a call to action. I think maybe what she means here is that when she does something like does a post and then the call to action is like, message me coaching or message me protein or whatever. Not many people do that. And that's probably the lowest or like the hardest call to action, I guess, or the lowest engagement you're probably going to get. Is it's quite hard to get someone to go from a post to then a message. Whereas if you put that on your story, hey, just reply to this story, commit, and I'll send you it for free, whatever. That works better than putting it on a post. But they do, like posts do work as well. So I would do both, but I wouldn't be, you know, like we were saying, test what works. If people are replying to polls, fine. Just say, click this and I'll send you it. Cool. Then you go in and you do the legwork and you send them it.
Yeah. I think the thing about putting call to actions on posts is that, again, you have to manage your expectations. Like, don't be expecting to get a response from every post. Like, that's not the idea of it. The idea of is to just keep implanting into people's minds that this is how they can kind of get in contact with you and this is what you do. A common example I use with coaches is like, how often do you see or hear the same ad on the radio or on the television? But you might not act on that all of the time. It's the same. People will see these call to actions, but they have to see it over and over again before they actually decide, OK, I'm going to take action on this. And also something to look at is in the way that you are packaging up these posts. Are they speaking directly to the person, speaking about the problem that they have? Are they appealing to be acted on? But they're not going, not every post is going to be, not every call to action post. Like, you don't even get action on every single call to action that you put out. And it's like, not.
Sometimes you don't really know why. Like, I've done quite a few recently on a call to action, I'll send you a morning routine. Some of those did insanely well, and other ones just like one or two people maybe messaged me. I actually don't even know if they're messaging me from the previous post. So it's interesting. And like, I actually thought that one was a little bit more direct and would have had a little bit more pickup, but it didn't. So again, it's all testing. And this is why you can't just do it once and be like, oh, well, nobody wanted that, I'll just like leave it. You have to try it in slightly different ways and frame it in slightly different ways and see what is working and what isn't working. Other thing that you kind of just touched on there with like repeated messaging and advertising. And I saw this on a tweet and I don't know who to credit for this, unfortunately. So anyway, it's quite a common concept, but one we probably don't consider enough is, you might feel like you're repeating yourself all the time, but that's such a good thing, right? So if I would hope, at least within our echo chamber, if someone hears imperfect action, they think of me because I say it all the time, because I use it all the time, right? You can even do it with emojis. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've started doing this, right? Like, I'm always using that target emoji, partly just because I kind of liked it and nobody else uses it. But now I do. Now, when people see that, what I want is them to think of me, think of Commit Six, think of AFM, right? You can use these things as like, if you consistently use the same thing, you can literally own an emoji. Like, in someone's head, it's like, bam, I see that and I think of this. Or you own a word. It's like, oh, someone says imperfect action, I think of Emma. Someone says range targets, I think of Emma. None of these are like, you know, I didn't come up with any of them from scratch. They're all like slight tweaks on like other concepts, but I use them. And then actually in people's heads, doesn't really matter if I've got the copyright on them or not. It's like, well, what do you think of when you hear that? You think of me, right? What do you hear of when you hear like 4-hour work week, Tim Ferriss, right? It's like, if you talk about the same things, I think this example as well was, what do you think about when you hear boring business? And it's that woman, Cody Sanchez.
Sanchez.
It's like, yeah, because that's what she always says, right? She always talks about it. And she doesn't own those words. That's why I want to use that example, because they're not like, she's just describing something, but when you hear it, you think of her. And that's kind of what you want, because then throughout people's days, you don't have to be popping up on their Instagram. You can just be having conversations with people and someone's talking about perfectionism and they're like, oh, well, I heard this imperfect action. And then they're thinking of you, right? And then mm-hmm. they speak about you. Oh, you should listen to her podcast. It's really good. It talks about this all the time. That's the kind of stuff you want. So you do need to keep repeating your message.
Yeah. Lately, I've been saying, don't be a dickhead to yourself. Like, I just said it one day and it seems to have caught on. Like, a client is actually using it as a mantra now for herself. When she finds herself getting into her head a bit, she's like, she kind of remembers Maureen said, don't be a dickhead to yourself. And it was actually the defining factor for somebody signing up the other day. Sent her my information. She went onto my page and saw, don't be a dickhead to yourself. And she was like, I'm signing up for coaching. Yeah. So it's impactful. Like,
and then you're just repeating the same thing. Keep saying it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you don't have to fully own it. Like Andy always says, parent yourself. He didn't come up with that. Like, of course he didn't come up with that, right?
Yeah, it's just words.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, well, it's a concept, it's words, like that's what it means. And then I think of him or I think of that. Yeah.
Okay, will we do we have time for one more? It's 26 past.
One more and then I'll change my locks.
Okay. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, so where's it? I've got a similar issue to Becky. No response on CTAs. Also, on the odd occasion, somebody does message me, like it's normally along the lines of, can I have more info, please? Then I tend to lose them about 60% of the time. I try to avoid, quote unquote, app workout calorie target and go in by asking them what their goal is and how I can provide them with support and accountability around that, but it doesn't always do the trick. Is there any advice on how to, quote unquote, seal the deal at this stage?
Again, this comes down to testing a little bit. Some people prefer to kind of like message within DMs. What I do is always get them to fill in an application form. So I'm like, hey, so lovely to hear from you. I really think I can help you. Could you just fill in this application form for me? It gives me a little bit more information about you. And then I'll email you, which is much easier than DMs where things can get lost. Literally that. And then all I do from there is send them tomorrow. Oh yes, I've got the perfect coach for you. Here she is. But yeah, sometimes I think that that is quite a good way to do it, especially if you frame it as, I need to know a little bit more about you to know that I'm the right person to help you, right? I'm actually going to make a lesson on this of like how to get people to apply to work with you as opposed to you feel like you're selling to them. It shifts everything, and it's such a better experience from both perspectives. And also it's genuine because you're like, well, I want to know if I can help you first. And it also makes the buyer more relaxed in that as well. Because, you know, if I walk into any sales situation and they're just like, you should buy this, why? You've literally not listened to me. You don't know what I'm struggling with. You don't know, how could you possibly know that you can help me? And the likelihood is you can help them, but you don't actually know yet. So figure that out first, get some information about them. Don't make it a ridiculous long application form. If you want an example, just go look at my website, click on the application form. You'll see the questions I ask. They're not amazing. They're not, you know, but they're not too much. It's just about the right line of how many questions you want, enough that you can be like, yes, I think I can help you, and create some rapport with them, but not so much that they're like, oh my God, I'll fill in that 20 question application form tomorrow when I've got more time, and then tomorrow never comes. Yeah.
You know, I think that's important to make people feel like they're heard. And that's what people want as well. They just want to feel heard. They want to feel seen. They want to be like, oh, this person actually cares enough about me to actually give me some time and attention around what I'm struggling with. And I think that does take the pressure off trying to sell as well. It's like, don't always be looking at, oh, this is a lead. This is someone I could sell to. It's like, this is a person who has a problem that you might be able to solve. And that's all you're trying to do is to get into a conversation with them.
Agree. Okay, we'll wrap this up here. Do you think we should put this on the podcast as well?
I don't like making decisions. Okay, let's go. Yes, because I
Okay.
know you'll
If
want
you're
to.
listening on the podcast, you're not on 30 for 30 or AFM, you're missing out. So you should join, and you can apply to join to make sure that you are a good fit and that we are the right people to help you at afmentors.com. And what you've been listening to is a, well, what was that? Like, okay, well, it was a bit of the questions that we missed out from Friday's Mastermind within the 30 for 30 course.
Yeah.
All right.
Exclusive content that we just decided to share because we're nice.
Because we just want to help you. That's why. Selfless.
Exactly.
We wanted to
Yeah.
give you an inside scoop into what it might be like. Yeah.
Yeah. How we operate. Smooth operators.
And on that note, goodbye.